feeble mind, if there was an opportunity for a developer to have made a profit on Block 33, why hasn't it happened over all of these decades? And it could be that we have set the standards so tightly in that particular area that it does not account for the economic realities faced by people who are developing housing or hotels or any other types of projects in that area. And I'm thinking about economic factors like interest rate increases. I'm thinking about the increasing costs of construction. I would prefer to have development there than not. I think the worst use of that property is as a surface parking lot. I think it is inconsistent with the historic district. I think it is inconsistent with the city's overall objectives around 2035. So the balancing act is trying to figure out where to draw the line. And we've heard in a few minutes of testimony everything from don't do anything to 160 sounds about right to 200 better be it. So this is a very, very complicated process, but I think we have the wherewithal to do the balancing act and do it well. Commissioner Fritz.
Clarify, it's raised the height to 125. The current is 100. So it's not do nothing. It's do what we've discussed in the process versus go to 165
that's fair.
Or
that's
200.
That's a fair correction. Thank you.
And from my perspective, one of the options that could be happening here is that this property is currently generating income through surface parking, and that in my experience with this area, there have been developers or property owners who have just been sitting on their properties waiting to see how sweet of a deal they could get before redeveloping them. And so that's also a possibility rather than that it's just not redevelopable. I mean, if you think about 100 feet, 125 feet, the White Stag building on NATO is 75 feet, and it's beautifully restored and very compatible. So 75 feet, and then you're going to double the White Stag building and put that next to a historic district. That just doesn't seem reasonable to me, that could possibly be in context.
Commissioner Fish?
Oh, ready.
Commissioner Udaly? Great, thank you. Okay. So that concludes our oral hearing on these... Commissioner Fritz?
That was on Amendment C. I have questions on A and B,
okay,
please.
Sorry.
That's all right. So on the Lincoln High School property, I was wanting to hear from Kurt Kruger from Transportation. I'd like to know what are the parking regulations in the area, what's the rules on allowing parking immediately adjacent to a transit street, and just what the discussions have been as far as the pedestrian access through the site.
And I'm going to let Rachel jump in on the parking if I missed that. Kurt Kruger with Transportation. The proposal before the amendments was that there would be no more parking allowed in the central city for a surface parking lot. So this amendment tries to preserve some of the existing parking that Lincoln High School has today, not all of what they have, but some amount of what they have today. As far as the connectivity, the superblocks actually look to go reestablish some connections through what was formerly vacated rights away. And there were three rights away on the Lincoln High School property, 15th, 16th, and 17th. Recognizing that Portland Public Schools has a significant security issue that's different than any other development site, we sat down and been working with BPS over the last 2 weeks and PPS, and we think we have the ability to do certain connectivity with the design team and BDS through Title 17 code requirements. And what we haven't fleshed out far enough to bring to you today is a memo of understanding that we're currently working with. It's in the city attorney's office helping us to then bring to PPS to memorialize the public access that is inherent on all public schools across the city, but put that in a more formal memo that might become an IGA, an intergovernmental agreement that allows the public to access it, but also retain security issues and needs that this school district has.
But that's not done yet.
No.
And if we exempt them from the superblock regulations, does that affect the ability to get to that agreement?
We still have code authority within transportation code, Title 17, that allows us to ask for street connectivity, so we still have that tool. I think the MOU broadens it from the Lincoln High School piece, so this helps us in future redevelopments as we see PPS working through their bond measures and other school sites around the city.
So would it be helpful if we defer voting on that particular element until the MOU is done?
It certainly would help nudge that process along a little bit.
Okay. Sure. So, and then if they're not...
Sorry, Commissioner. Yeah, just to clarify, too, the provisions in the super block require an easement, so in a bit it ties Kurt's hands in terms of the options, this more alternative way of getting connectivity that he's working on through the MOU. That would not be sufficient for the super block requirement. So that's why we have said that's not the approach, but we're going to seek it through the MOU. So...
Right, we could do them concurrently, though, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then going back to the surface parking, what would be the options if we were to not grant this exemption?
Options, and I'm putting words in PPS's mouth, so I apologize for that. One would be for a structured parking facility. The other would be to not allow the parking altogether.
I believe the testimony we got was the bond would not allow them to fund a structured parking.
Correct.
So it's a theoretical option, but they just can't pay for it.
Correct.
Okay. And does the code allow them to put the parking lot along 18th? Not 18th. Yes, it's 18th.
I think it was
like right adjacent to the transit street.
Not currently as proposed in the 2035 plan.
Is there a further comment on that, Mauricio?
The Central City 2035 plan.
Identify yourself, please.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you have to say who you are then.
And you have to turn on the mic.
there you go. Mauricio Leclerc.
And now your time is up. Thank you very much.
Thank you. My best performance yet. The code also allows sharing of parking. So another thing that you can do is just to rent parking throughout the district. That's a policy that's also allowed in the central city.
Okay.
So you can, on site, off site, via renting. That's allowable. Or structure and surface.
And as far as if we do allow the surface lot, I'm a little concerned that it's right along the transit street. So is that allowed?
Access, the driveways would not, but I think there's no on-street parking available on 18th.
Chris?
18th?
The main street that the transit goes on, I'm not quite sure what number that is.
Yeah, it's 18th. It's basically one lane, and then you have the rail, so you would not be able to put on-street parking there, nor would you be able to provide a driveway through it.
You'd take the current metered parking away, but you are allowed to put the surface parking lot immediately adjacent to the transit street.
So the current code would... I don't believe that the current code would allow a surface parking lot to be proposed. The new code wouldn't allow a surface parking lot to be proposed. This amendment would allow them 100 spaces on their site.
And but my question is it okay in the location that they showed it?
The location of it is not adjacent to 18th. If we look at the, I think Sally was trying to pull up the, if you have on your screen, their proposal shows it
almost had it
to the south there.
Yeah. On the east-west streets, yeah.
So it's running parallel to Salmon on the opposite side of the property.
I see. So yeah. That's
where the new building would be located
beach,
where the tracks
where the beaches are now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Good. So, Mayor, are we going to take a vote on A and B?
So, first of all, let's close the written record for the public school amendments so that we can vote today. And we're going to leave the written record open for the two amendments that have been proposed with regard to the height in Old Town Chinatown, Japantown, until April. You want that at April 5th or April 4th, legal counsel?
4th.
April 4th at 2 p.m. time certain. So now we will vote on amendments A and B pertaining to the schools. Sue, will you please call the roll on item A?
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Sossman.
Aye.
Aye. Udalli?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. Amendments. Commissioner Fritz.
Sorry, I thought that Kurt said if it would might be helpful if we don't vote on B until they've got the MOU done.
Very good. Amendment A is adopted. Would you like to, it's your recommendation to us to keep B open until April 4th, is that correct?
I think it'll help keep both parties at the table in getting the MOU put together.
Yeah, and I don't see any urgency to that. So Amendment B, with regard to access, will remain open. Do we want to keep the written record open?
No. Necessary.
The written record will remain closed then on item B.
Thank you.
So now we're voting on the amendments for March 7th, 2018, and the amendments that were held over from January 18th, 2018. So this is part two of the meeting. Thank you to those of you who have stuck around for this. The first item is to vote on the packet of minor and technical amendments that were the subject of the public hearing, which was held on March 7th. I'd like to call a vote on items F through J and item L, unless someone would like to pull one of these off the agenda for a separate discussion and vote. Okay. Good. All right, hearing none, let's vote on the minor and technical package F through J and L. Sue, please call the roll.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udalli.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment's adopted. The amendment package is adopted. Next, let's move on to height and FAR at Big Pink, Wells Fargo, and PacWest. I understand that there are two amendments that we should take as a package. Rachel, can you help us work through this, please?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. This amendment, which you previously saw in amendments in the amendments report, related to Big Pink, Wells Fargo, and PacWest, was to provide these buildings with the heights that they have today, as constructed. The reason this is before you again is the FAR at the Wells Fargo building. The owners of the building were taking a closer look at that and realized they had not calculated the FAR correctly, and the FAR is actually at 19-1, not 18-1. So we needed to have you vote on the two of these together. So that we actually could show that no changes to the other buildings. Those stand as exists in the amendment report.
That makes sense. Council, any discussion on this matter? Very good. Sue, please call the roll.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udalli.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The package of amendments are adopted. Next, let's move on to the view from I-84. Mindy, can you please remind us about these two items?
Yes, thank you. Mindy Brooks, Planning and Sustainability. So these, again, this is two amendments that are grouped together, and this is to finalize the location of the viewpoint on the new bike and pedestrian bridge crossing I-84. This is a view of downtown. PBOT now has a final alignment that connects 7th Avenue North to South, and this viewpoint now can be located and finalized there.
Very good, and I think it's great that the new overpass is moving through into the design phase and that we're able to create a new view site. Sue, please call the roll.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
I'd like to thank the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability for their work on this amendment. Aye.
Udalli.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment's adopted. Next, let's move on to the view of Matt Adams from Upper Hall. I understand that there are two amendments to consider as a package. And Mindy, could you go ahead and remind us about this package as well?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, so again, it's a combination amendment. And this amendment would remove protections for the view of Matt Adams from Southwest Upper Hall and restore existing heights to some of the properties within the view corridor as shown on the map. The views of the city skyline, Mount St. Helens, and Mount Hood would remain protected.
Please call the roll.
Fritz.
So I appreciate, first of all, Mindy Brooks, for all of your work on view corridors and for going over the entire central city map with me lot by lot to examine the concern that was raised by the community that Citizen Advisory Committee members had nefariously requested height increases on their own properties, and I did not find that to be the case. All of them were in line with putting the height near transit, decreasing the height along scenic view corridors. this amendment was at least done transparently in that one of the property owners asked the mayor to propose it, and it's also done by giving everybody else the height increase that the one property owner proposed. I still think it would be better to keep the view of Mount Adams. No.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
I vote aye. The amendment is adopted. Next, we're talking about top of bank. Mindy, could you walk us through this one? This is an amendment that was brought at the request of the Port of Portland, and I have a couple of questions about it. Why don't you walk us through it?
Okay. This amendment would remove a section of the proposed code and a figure that describes how to measure top of bank when there is a structure over the riverbank. By removing this subsection of the code, the applicant and Bureau of Development Services would use the new top of bank definition to determine on a case-by-case basis how to measure around those structures.
So I would like to move the vote on this to April 4th, and here's why. My understanding is that two city bureaus oppose this amendment, and BDS's Bureau of Development Services has made a compelling argument that they already do this functionally anyway, and therefore an amendment is not necessary. And while we want to be good partners with the Port of Portland and be responsive to their requests, I don't have the confidence I need today to be able to make a vote and say with a straight face that this amendment actually functionally does anything. And given that we have two city bureaus that are expressing concern about it, unless one of my colleagues strenuously objects, I'd like to move this vote to April 4th so I can do a little more fact-finding. Are there any objections?
I couldn't quite hear what your amendment is, Mayor.
It was really good. It was really good. You were for it.
Okay.
No, I just proposed we move the vote to April 4th. Dan, I have some more questions on this.
Okay.
Is
Thank
that
you.
Okay?
And is that in anticipation of you potentially withdrawing the amendment?
That is correct. I need a little more time to digest this and talk to our partners at the port.
Just to be clear, I agree with removing the amendment and also with removing the comments, which I think complicate things.
Very good. So the next item on my list here is Amendment M, the trail commentary. Sally, can you remind us about this amendment? I understand the commentary is not something that the council typically votes on separately at the end of a project, but several council members wanted the opportunity to discuss this particular item, Amendment M.
Yes, this amendment is just to point out that the Maritime Transportation Security Act allows facilities that they regulate along the Willamette River, in particular here, to have some flexibility in how they design their sites and their security plans to protect the sites from various threat levels. And so when the city enters into an easement for a trail, that easement can allow for reasonable trail closures or limits when it's necessary to address those threat levels.
So
it doesn't change the code. It just puts this into the commentary just to acknowledge.
To add this.
So no vote is required then?
No vote is required.
I don't think we should add it. I think this actually complicates things. We don't usually reference state and federal regulations, and putting it in the commentary when it's not in the code, I don't think makes it any clearer.
So this, and correct me if I'm wrong, this was put in after discussions with an individual, a business owner, who came in and testified extensively on this particular subject, and I felt that staff did a really good job of explaining that this really does not need to be in the 2035 plan or in the code or anything that the council voted on, but he wanted us to reflect what he saw as being the reality of federal law superseding local law on these matters of potential national security, and so that's why it's here.
But that we don't want it perpetually in the commentary.
I
Mayor, what he's effectively done is flag the issue. If we cluttered the commentary with every possible state or federal preemption on every conceivable issue, it would look like a phone book. I would prefer to keep it out of the commentary as well, but it has been made a part of the record.
Is there any objection then to withdrawing this as part of the commentary? Very good. And you are correct, Commissioner Fish, it is part of the record, and we'll refer back to this often over many decades to come. Commissioner Udaly would like to reconsider her vote on River Place. Commissioner
Mayor, I'm going to sign off at this point because I'm recusing myself from these votes.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. We appreciate your attending by phone. Get well soon, please.
Thank you.
Commissioner Udaly.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor. First, I'd like to thank my colleagues for bearing with me while I explored this issue. My original intent had been to vote yes on this amendment, but Commissioner Fritz raised issues that I hadn't considered and didn't feel well-informed enough on to cast an affirmative vote, so I hit the pause button. It's rare that I feel unprepared on the dais due to the great work of my office and city staff, but this was one of those days. Sometimes you don't know what you don't know, and I'm not embarrassed to admit when I need more time or information in order to make an informed decision. There's been a lot of misinformation and misunderstanding around this item in the public. To be clear, as it stands, raising the heights in River Place does not increase the FAR or number of potential units, affordable or otherwise, on the site. Furthermore, the drawing by famed Japanese architect Kengo Kuma is not a proposal, it's a concept that is very unlikely to ever be realized. What it does do is reveal the potential of the River Place site, and that is what today's vote is really about, unleashing the potential of the site. The potential of raising the heights include, but are not limited to, and do not guarantee, a more significant architectural work, a greater likelihood that the site will be fully developed, which it is not currently, creating much-needed density in the central city, the possibility of better sight lines that taller, slimmer buildings provide, and more variety and liveliness on our waterfront. As commissioners, we're charged with looking out for the best interests of our city and its residents. Cautionary tales abound in our cityscape that lead me to be skeptical of promises made by private developers. I needed to be assured that we stood to gain as much as we were giving on this site. Portlanders expect to have a strong voice in our process, especially around planning. Initially, the voices I heard were overwhelmingly in opposition of this amendment. Since my vote, I've heard from many more constituents who support it. I've also had a deeper briefing on the site from BPS and talked to my colleagues as well as experts in the field. So today I move to reconsider Council's March 7th vote not to approve Amendment Number 7 and Number 10 of the January 2018 Amendments Report. These amendments address River Place bonus height and special tower orientation standards. I would also like to add that due to the fact that the site will go through a master planning process and design review, I do not believe that Amendment Number 10 is necessary or even desirable. I'm bringing it back for reconsideration for the sake of discussion. So I move to reconsider Amendment Number 7 and Number 10.
I second that motion, and I thank you, Commissioner Udaly, for your thoughtful remarks and your decision to reconsider your vote on River Place amendments. Any further discussion? Sue, please call the roll.
Fritz.
No.
Fish.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment is adopted. Now, there are two items that we need to do related. Let's start by reconsidering the height amendment. Rachel, can you come up and are you already here? Can you please summarize this for us?
Amendment number 7, this is the amendment that adds two height opportunity areas on the River Place site, and those are in red as you see them in the PowerPoint. And the bonus height would be up to 325 feet. The base height remains at 125. With this requirement, going up to a height of 325 would require narrower towers. in an effort to preserve public views and lighten air through the site. Other heights on the site would step down as you approach the river from 325 to 250 and 150 at the eastern edge of the site.
I have a question for Mr. Zender. Joe, in most of the correspondence I've received and in the commentary that I've reviewed, this has been referred to as an opportunity for us to put some residential housing in a desirable location. And I've seen the number of something like 2,000 units that are potentially could be developed here. Is that correct?
It's in that order of magnitude, yes.
Okay. Now, the mayor has proposed, and I agree with him, that whatever is planned for this particular part of town would be subject to a master planning process, which ultimately would come back to council. Is that correct?
It would come back to council on appeal, correct?
That's right.
It's a permit. It's
come
a,
back
it's,
on appeal.
Yes. It goes through design review, though, Commissioner.
So, building on the comments of Commissioner Udaly, and assuming that I continue to have the honor of serving on this body, don't be presumptuous, I just want to explain that while I'm going to support the amendment, if in the master planning process we learn that this site, that the developer intends to develop the site for some purpose other than housing, then I reserve my right, if it comes to us on appeal, to turn down the master plan. In other words, it is the expectation of, I think, everyone who's been part of this debate that this opportunity is around housing, not something else that's allowable as a right under a CX zone. And so just to be clear, and the only power I have to essentially condition my vote is to announce that I expect through the master planning process that that intent is followed. And if it doesn't and comes back to us on appeal, it is unlikely that it will gain my support.
Very good. Any further discussion? Sue, please call the roll.
Do we need a motion and a second?
It's an amendment.
No.
I think since we're reconsidering motions that were already on the table, I think.
Thank you. Thank you. Fritz?
So if you look at this map, the heights behind here are 75 feet and 125 feet. Even with the bonus, it's 75 feet and 250 feet, and 125 feet and 200 feet. So this is against our adopted central city plan policy of step down to the river, which was discussed at huge length under the comprehensive plan process and the West Quadrant process. It is abhorrent. And unlike the Goodman Amendment, which I just referenced for the Upper Hall view, this one doesn't make everybody else home. This is spot zoning, and what we saw today, earlier today, is what happens when we do spot zoning for particular developments. It's that everybody else is going to want their goodies too. And so I am very, very concerned and disappointed that this benefits one property owner at the detriment of everybody else. No.
Fish.
Aye.
Udaly.
I took the issue of the step down to the river very seriously and dug into it with planning staff and with community members with a lot of experience in planning. And the step down to the river is not a hard and fast rule, even in the original language, which I believe the language is going to somewhat change in the 2035 plan. It suggests a step down, but also suggests locating the highest densities along potential and existing transit corridors, which we have in this location. And the step down sounds like a noble tenet, but my understanding is that it was really intended to preserve views of mostly commercial buildings from the bus mall forward. And I have to say that I don't think our past policies of the last 30 years have resulted in a vibrant waterfront. It's a dead zone as far as the buildings along NATO Parkway and along the waterfront, which is why I support this and vote aye.
Wheeler.
So I just want to reiterate a couple of the comments I already made on March 7th. I believe the 325-foot height is appropriate as long as it comes with requirements to provide public benefits, which it does, including open space, access to the river, views, and requirements to allow visual permeability. In addition, the increased height will allow for more flexibility in design and hopefully achieve some of the public benefits we desperately need in the downtown area, including more affordable housing, open space, and access to the river. I vote aye. The amendment is adopted. So next, let's discuss the tower spacing amendment. Rachel, can you walk us through that, please?
Sure. So this additional amendment is, it is a set of amendments that is similar to what we use in South Waterfront for some of the towers that we have there, and it does add more space between the buildings as well as the orientation, orients them on kind of an east-west as opposed to a north-south, so that you do have some visual, more visual permeability through the site.
So this proposes to adopt simply the South Waterfront tower spacing.
It is, yes, it is those. It is the South Waterfront same spacing regulations. That's correct.
So the is there another amendment on the master plan? Did we already decide to do the master plan?
We did that last time.
Yes.
So is there a possibility of at least doing the tower standards through the master plan rather than adopting what has not worked in South Waterfront? You talk about dead space.
And I would say there are, through the master plan, we did add approval criteria that I believe would get you a very similar result. We did add approval criteria for visual permeability through the site and light and air. It's not as specific. It's not as specific to talk about the orientation of the buildings, but between the master plan and the design guidelines, the design commission could probably get to the same place.
But I think they asked us not to, and you said that the master plan's already been done.
The code provisions have been done, Commissioner.
Yes. The code provisions for a River Place master plan have been done.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We voted on that one item, and then
on March 7th,
voted down the other
but
two.
But there was—I thought there was going to be a master planning process.
There will be.
Oh, it's the code requirement for a master planning process is in the package already, so that you've already voted on.
The process hasn't been
right.
Hasn't
once this is the code for them to pull a permit, they're going through a master plan process with all of us.
So they have to go through the master plan anyway until they can pull a permit, or can they pull a permit as soon as this is adopted?
They have to go through a master plan process.
So do we need this amendment? I'm hearing two things, and I want to just make sure I understand. So this amendment provides for spacing and permeability and orientation. Are you telling me that the master plan will do the same thing, in which case we don't need the amendment? I'm just trying to figure out what the right strategy is here.
We really have two ways to get there.
I'm agnostic.
It's a little bit like the discussion we had with Kurt Kruger about the it just gives us a little more leverage. I mean, even this tower spacing or tower orientation regulations are amendable, right? Or
yes,
so it can work without this requirement. It just makes it more clear that that's what we're about.
I believe the Design Commission asked us not to just do South Waterfront, that to have specific for this site, and that's what I just heard my colleagues saying.
Yeah, I believe that it was their testimony as well.
Commissioner Daly.
So in my conversations with BPS and taking into consideration what Commissioner Fritz shared with me about South Waterfront, I think there seemed to be consensus in the room that while this amendment was introduced with good intentions, which was to give some preliminary guidance to the developers and maybe simplify issues for the Design Commission, that because we are going to have a master plan process, that it's not really necessary.
Yeah, I'm hearing that it's duplicative and unnecessary. So with that, unless there's any objection, I'll withdraw the amendment. Okay. It doesn't seem necessary.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And does the master plan come back to council, as Commissioner Fish was saying?
The master plan is the first permit that any development on the site must go through. It's sort of like a master site planning permit.
Does it come to
if
council?
It goes through Design Review Commission and gets approved and is acceptable, that's it. It moves on. Otherwise, it on appeal, it would come back to the city council.
Okay.
Very good. So that is that. Sally, could you tell us a little bit about next steps?
There's been a lot of rhetoric in the community about the different heights, and that height automatically leads to more units and therefore more affordable units. And if anybody wants to see what's actually been built, I've posted on the blog of my city website, portlandonline.com, and go to my website to the blog. What's actually been built. Thank you, Rachel Hoyt, for giving us this information. So there's almost no correlation between height, FAR, and units. It's all about what does the developer want to build. So I just wanted to put that on the record in case people are wondering, you know, doesn't height automatically mean more building? The answer is, based on the developments that have happened recently, the answer is no.
Very good. Sally, what's up next?
Yes. So the screen that you have in front of you is not totally up to date. Our next session here will be April 4th at 2 p.m., and we'll take up the height, the Block 33 height, top of bank, and that Amendment B for the Portland Public Schools. Then we have May 24th at 2:30 p.m. time certain, which will be the vote on the entire Central City 2035 package. No testimony at that session. We will come back tentatively on June 6th because there are a few administrative rules that we would like council to adopt related to low carbon buildings. These are bird safe glazing. These are minor details that will be necessary to implement the code that you will be adopting, but it's something that may change over time. There may be a different option for a low-carbon building designation or a new form of bird-safe glazing that the city might want to be considering. So that's what those are. Those are minor. And then finally, July 9th, we anticipate an effective date for Central City 2035.
Just observe that in the last few weeks, at the end of these hearings, we carry notebooks back to our office that look like, you know, the old Manhattan phone book. And I'm actually scheduled for some back surgery just to correct for some things that have happened by sitting in this chair for 8 hours at a time and carrying all this heavy weight. And we do owe a big debt of gratitude, Sally, to you and Joe and the whole team from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. This is really complicated stuff. You give us great briefings. You give us materials before the hearing. You give us cheat sheets that allow us to follow along. And I don't think we can thank you adequately enough for the work that you do to prepare us to be able to have these kinds of discussions.
Thank you.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you all. Thank you. And with that, we are adjourned.